Hi, I'm Liz.
And I'm Rhea.
Welcome to Karma's My Bitch, a podcast about love,
sex,
connection,
abundance,
joy,
purpose,
peace,
and how life isn't simply the stories we tell ourselves.
I was remiss in not explaining the structure of this season, season 11, Can You Find Your Happy Place? So I'm just going to explain that for just a brief minute, and then we can kind of go into what does it mean when happiness eludes us. So the first 8 episodes of this season are about what happiness is through what it is not.
Okay.
Okay. Then the following 8 episodes are about what happiness is really. And then the following 9 episodes is how do we apply it? It's like practical and spiritual application.
Okay.
That's what that is.
Then if we're talking about what happiness is and what it isn't, why does happiness elude us? What does it mean when it eludes us? Because we discussed a couple of seasons ago, or we've discussed, and this is what we teach, right? You make karma your bitch, you get rid of your karma, you get rid of your fear that you're not good enough, your core fear, you get rid of the ego, which is all your identity shit, you know? Mm-hmm. You move to the small points of your destiny, to the bigger fabric of your fate. You go through that period of hell where all we knew, all we believed, all that we thought was true and how we defined our lives doesn't support us anymore. So we have to create a new one based on who we actually are. But that's a lot to do. And then imagine you do all of that and then happiness doesn't, you can't find happiness anyway.
I mean, I'm laughing, but not really laughing in humor. More like it's awkward.
How do you know when you're happy? Because I think even personally, like,
oh my gosh, Rhea, that's like such a loaded question.
But it's true, because
and you've asked that actually before. We've had that in a previous podcast.
Yeah, courageous people ask me how I was, and I'd reply good, and then people would ask me how I was, and I reply happy, and I'm like, okay, I guess I'm happy. But that's pretty much like as far as I would go. But like, you know, and I just kept thinking, but why? And but I know there were huge periods of time where I wasn't happy, but I'd done all the things.
Yeah. So what you had mentioned, hell, I think we need to touch upon that for a little bit, because I think by the time people are listening to this, some of them will have either been in it or will be about to go in it or in it. Who knows? Hell is actually such an important point, and it's such a critical juncture when we're moving from our destiny to our fate, that if we don't explain it for people who might just be joining us or might have missed that season, I think that we need to just explain it for just a second, right?
Okay.
You described the karmic undoing process just now, right? You burn out your karma, you eliminate your core fear, you get rid of your ego, and wham, you're sort of a new person-ish, right? As in you've
shed. Or you're basically the person who you always thought you were, and you're just free to express it.
Exactly. You have begun to become your divine expression.
Yes.
I'm just going to say it. We effectively, you know, I'm just going to kind of go back to book one stuff and early season stuff. We all have our big fabric of fate, right? The tapestry, the lines, et cetera, and all the different junctures and whatever. So when you're in your karma, you're existing from a very small portion of that tapestry, and we call that your destiny. And in that destiny, we have our goalposts, right? So even if you're in your karma, you're still going to move forward. You still have your growth and evolution to take care of. And those goalposts are good markers for that, right? It's pretty much what a lot of people have been able to accomplish lifetime after lifetime. And that can look like a variety of things, you know, career milestones, relationship milestones, etc. But when you've gone through your karmic undoing process, your destiny falls away. And those milestones become way less important than the larger fabric of your fate, because you become a much more expanded version of yourself. And you realize a lot of the potential that went untapped when you were sort of in your karmic shit, right? That either blinded you to yourself or that you willfully ignored. Yeah. When you're in that space between destiny and fate, you've entered hell. What we call hell. Yeah.
And this is season 8 for anyone who's interested to learn more about it.
So effectively, when you are in this period of hell, everything that you knew, believed, and thought was true, and how you defined your life can no longer support you.
All your coping mechanisms don't work.
Yeah. It's a little bit larger than that, only because what's effectively happening is that the entire structure around which you have built your life comes undone. Right? And that is a really difficult place for really anyone to come from. And where do you go from there? And so it almost looks like this like barren wasteland, yeah? But it's not. It's just effectively the unraveling of one world before the other world has yet to present itself. Because effectively, that new world, that kind of, if you will, 5D world, or the world of oneness, the world of love, the world of harmony, etc., has to come through us. So we have to be able to build it, but we can't build it while we're in our karma. We can't kind of like toe the line or toe two worlds, because if you're birthing a new world while you're still existing in the other one, you're just going to end up dragging the old one into the new one, right?
Which is what episode one was about.
Exactly. Exactly. Yay, we're making connections. So it's happening in my head.
Can you go through hell more than one time?
No. No, it's one hell. The unraveling of our lives begin when we confront our karma. But once we are in hell, there's no going back. And that's what makes it feel like hell. Because you've got really nothing in front of you, but you can't go backward. Because there's nothing that's going to support it. There's no path back to your old life. Everything's burned to the ground.
And whilst this sounds exceptionally dramatic...
Who's playing who today?
It really could be as simple as just, I used to be able to go to this friend's house and, you know, pretend that my life wasn't falling apart. But now when I go, they just annoy me. Do you know what I mean? It's like burned to the ground, could be in anything.
Okay, well, I'll give another example. It could be terrifying for some. It's almost like, I feel like my marriage is over. It could feel like that.
Mm.
You know, it could feel like my career is over. I'm so done with this. I'm so frustrated and I'm finding this too challenging, but I have nowhere to go. But it's not the stuckness of the karma of the catch 22 of I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't. It is literally, I have nowhere to go. But you can still be acting from a place that is familiar to your ego as a point of protection.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the only fighting place you know, right? That's your only shield.
How long does it take to come out of hell?
It depends on the person, really. It depends on how much their karmic undoing process conditioned them for it. Where some might just be like, well, this is like way better than what I was going through. And others just might be like, this is the most uncomfortable place that I've ever existed in. I need it to be over. I don't know. And they're clawing at the walls, or like you described it as being in a car and unable to open the door. Like, I can see that I got there. I know where I'm at. I know I'm exactly where I need to be. And I'm not scared of what's outside, but for some reason I can't open the door.
And this is before magic?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. This is all okay. Before magic. Okay, but we're rehashing this.
Yeah.
Because this will play into things. Okay. Yeah, because again, we have to really explain why happiness eludes people and how they have to understand where they're coming from and after what they've come through.
Because that's the thing, right? And that also links back to episode one, is that it's really hard to envisage a life of happiness when you've either envisaged a life of separation or hell.
Or your happiness has depended upon, as in your vision or your image of happiness or your idea of it has always depended upon what you've been through.
Yeah.
Because that's always going to color it, right? Mm. It's always going to color that near future self.
So when you feel like your marriage is falling apart, your job is falling apart, are they falling apart or are they coming together?
Sometimes it's falling apart for real and there's no bringing it back, because again, there's no path to your old life. And other times they are so that they can be brought, so that they can really be built up.
Okay.
And what builds that world, right? That internal world that becomes expressed fully through you and then becomes your reality.
Yeah.
And you may not remember this because you did it so organically, consciously, but also a little unconsciously, because you were like so bent on living your life. And that is the key. And this is what we teach, is it's a lot easier if you just go live your life.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to get done every time, like every choice you're making. Every time you're tapping into your desires is when your world gets built, like another brick goes in.
Yeah. Yeah?
Another brick gets laid, a stone in that foundation. The more you can allow yourself to desire and tap into that, the easier that world building becomes. When you are in this place, it might feel like you're kind of unhappy. right? Because you're just like, you're so focused on, I just want it to be better, right? I'm in my hell, or I'm coming out of my hell, and I just want everything to be better. Mm. And we can, and this is where I think we talked about maybe in the previous season of you fuck around and find out. Because the more you're willing to fuck around and face whatever the consequences or outcomes are, because you know you're going to be okay regardless of what happens, the easier it gets, the better it is. But we have to understand that sometimes we conflate things, our feelings, and think, I'm so unhappy or I'm miserable. When really we need to expand our vocabulary, because you're not unhappy as much as you just might be a bit frustrated, right? You might just be very annoyed. You might be angry. You might be impatient for the next thing to appear without realizing that what's going to get you through is effectively just living and making choices. Because, you know, I remember when you were going through your karmic undoing process and you were like, and you wrote about this in A Karmic Attraction, I just had to allow myself to make a choice.
Yeah.
And that choice had to breed another choice. And every time I was exercising my choices, I was clawing my way out of my karma, right? Mm-hmm. But then we get to a point where once we're out and things are a little bit smoother, we almost don't actively seek choices anymore. We can
even
we
though
risk...
that's the point where we can like actually make the most exciting ones.
Yes, we become a bit complacent because we're like, well, I've been through the worst. It's much better now. It's relatively better. Therefore, I'm okay. But like you said, then you're missing out on the real fun. But like childbirth, it is in the grand scheme of our fate tapestry, it is a blip. In the moment, it's fucking painful or difficult or one of the worst things imaginable because...
Oh my God. You're so dramatic. One of the
I'm
worst
so
things
dramatic.
Imaginable.
Fuck off. Oh my God. Honestly.
No, because... Oh my goodness. Like, I mean, for some people, it might be like, I just didn't know what to do or whatever. And I just felt like really like bare naked for like 3 weeks. And then I just got up one day and started living my life and then it was fine. So like, it could be like that. Like, you know how people sometimes the babies just plop out. It's like, we don't want people to like dread finishing their karmic undoing process because they have to then go through hell.
Fine. Well, I just want to prepare
in the scheme of things, in the scheme of things, hell was way better than my karmic shit.
Yeah, some will say that, but you know what? Some people, they're so good at their coping mechanisms. They were so good at compartmentalizing that they might see their hell as worse than their karma. And that's sorry. And my apologies for sounding so dramatic. It just might make some feel a little bit like I'm powerless to create the next stage of my life. And even though...
That's the bit, right? That's the rub. Mm-hmm. It's like, I've done all of this. I found out my power, but why isn't it working? It's a bit like installing all the lights in your house, installing the light switch and forgetting to do the connecting bit between the switch and the light bulbs, right?
Yeah.
Like it's the, I have everything. Why can't I do anything with it? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Like where is the light at the end of this tunnel? Because it's not switching on and I'm pressing it like so many times.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get it. I definitely get it. I'm not saying it's not, but like the worst thing imaginable sounds just like fucking hell, man. So fine, like then what does
I just want to make sure somebody feels seen or heard. That's all.
Everyone in their like worst times are seen and heard by doomsday predictor Elizabeth Hayes. Don't worry. But then what does true, unadulterated, elevated happiness require? Like how do we get there from hell?
First of all, it's living your purpose deeply, yeah? So without doubts and insecurities, and you and I have gone through our own process and we've shared that, like, what does that really look like? Because for some, they just dive in and it's like, cool.
Yeah.
And others, it's a process.
Yeah.
And you and I have definitely had our process. And that comes from episode 1, your true self-expression. Mm. So purpose and true self-expression, they go hand in hand when it comes to happiness.
Which makes sense because I love what I do and my work and everything else, but I also love rainbows and unicorns. So when I bring rainbows and unicorns to my work, it's the best.
Precisely. You can't touch me. I'm so high.
Yeah. Is that close to bliss?
Yeah.
And then can you have that in like relationships as well?
No, because it's not relational. It is really, when I say individual, I can't even use the word individual. It's...
What's the word? I'm so nervous.
Oh my God, I'm gonna fucking laugh. Oh my God, I don't even want it to come out of my mouth.
What?
But it's so fucking funny, Rhea. It's gonna make your day.
What? It's preparedness?
No, it's individual.
No, shut up. Shut
up. Oh my god, I am crying.
Sorry, who made up this word?
Wasn't fucking me.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry. What?
Oh my god, I just
individual.
Individual.
You can't even say it. You can't even say it.
It's so ridiculous, but it's actually kind of perfect too, because... So what I was about to say, because you were saying, I forgot what your question was, and the answer in my mind was, well, it's individual. But yeah. I'm like, but it's not individual, because it's you as the divine, and therefore it's individual.
So you just removed the in from it.
Because they did. They just think they're so clever.
Like divine, individual. Oh my gosh. Okay. Am I going to ever have to use that word again?
I hope not. If it appears, my apologies in advance if it appears in a book. What's our editor going to say? I don't think this is hyphenated, ladies.
Oh, he'll just spell check it. Put the in back in.
Yeah, Google Docs isn't gonna like it. I don't think they think it's as funny as we do, but that's okay. They're kind of sitting there like, when do you move on now? And it's like, but it's so funny.
You're just being individual, Liz.
We're in hell. Or we're coming out of hell. Okay. Maybe we haven't fully individualized ourselves. But when guidance pops out with this like new vocabulary and it's like so witty and entertaining and you're like, what the fuck is this word? It's so fucking made up. Honestly, people make like fun of Gen Zers. Exactly. People think Gen Zers make up a lot of words, right? And I'm like, well, you should like listen to guidance sometimes.
Individual. Okay. Individual. So you're learning about your individuality.
Exactly. Like, it's going to catch on like preparedness. But we really have to understand that unhappiness isn't really so much the absence of happiness, if you will, or synonymous with misery. It is really where we're just not exactly where we know we are supposed to be. But it's not so much happiness, it's not so much happiness eluding us as at that moment when you've come out of your hell and you're faced with all these possibilities and potential of your larger fate, you're just directionless.
Yeah.
Right? But you've kind of conflated those feelings of uncertainty, et cetera, as, well, I'm out of my karma, but I don't think I'm any happier.
You just don't know where to actually put your power, which is probably why you said figure out your desires.
Exactly.
Because actually, the thing is that when you're in your karma, when you're coming out of it, you know what you don't want, a bit like the first 8 episodes of the season. And, you know, you're making your choices and you're healing your old shit. And yes, as I used to say all the time, and I haven't said it in a while, you're healing something old or learning something new, usually at the same time. But when you're kind of out and you've got nothing to push back up against, and so it's up to you now to create the life that you do want, if you don't know what you're creating, then you're going to feel empty because, you know, as you said, as humans, we either create or destroy. So if you're not creating, you're destroying. And I've definitely noticed that, you know, like when I haven't moved on fast enough, I start destroying where I am.
Yeah.
And so that's, I guess, when it becomes the barren wasteland. But but you're right. It's just you lack direction. You lack what you want. And I guess my question is, so what do you do about it? Where do you find the direction? I'm ignoring Remember the Happiness Scale, because that was what, okay, fine, good, happy.
Yeah.
Do we need to talk about it?
Way back in one of the earlier seasons, we talked about the Happiness Scale, right? And this was kind of how we could gauge where we're at. as we go through our karmic undoing process and post-karma, how can we really understand
basically
where we're at in terms
what
of
what are the scales till we
state?
Get to happy? What are the stages before? And I can't remember whether it was fine first or okay first, because to me they're kind of the same. But yeah, you had a distinction.
Okay, fine, good, and then happy. We have these all these expectations of my karmic undoing process is done. I'm at the end of the rainbow. I want my pot of gold.
Yes, I remember this.
But the pot of gold is never that. Rather, it's what you've created because you're so powerful. You're powerful enough to get to the end of the rainbow that what you create is that pot of gold.
And well, so, or to say it differently, the pot of gold is the genie who grants you a million wishes because you're the genie.
Yes.
So you're not creating the pot of gold. You're creating the possibility.
Well, you're creating whatever that you're creating whatever that represents to you is my point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. Right? You're creating the possibility to create everything.
Exactly. Exactly. And so that is your most powerful self. And therefore, you're the one delivering it to you. Yeah. And by then, but that's not something that I think a lot of people talk about when it comes to a lot of New Age processes, because a lot of people approach it from the idea, the sort of separation idea of somebody still has to deliver this for me.
Yeah.
I do everything and I've sacrificed so much and I've burned down my life that it's, you know, I'm entitled to it. And that does keep people in hell longer because they're expecting somebody to open the door for them.
Well, I think also I was really petulant, right? I didn't see that the door handle was there. I crossed my arms over my hands and went, no, fuck off. I did all this work, so I'm done now.
Yeah.
And actually all I had to do was just open the door and then just start making more choices.
Yeah.
And then actually, instead of those choices blowing up on my face, watch them work out. Mm-hmm. That was the only difference in my making choices, right? And I would say that that's the marked difference between karma, hell, and post-hell. Is I'm still making choices. They're all working out in my favor, but the first ones feel like they're blowing up in my face because I'm coming from the place that I'm not good enough. But then when I'm coming from the place I am good enough and I'm making choices, they're all working out. It just sometimes it takes a bit of time.
It does. It time, which was your enemy for the longest period. I mean, honestly, that was, I feel like it was like enemy number one for you because we did have that episode of time when you're in your karma, right? And that was Clock of the Heart.
I think that's season two.
Is that season two? Okay. Yeah. It did seem rather early on. And we do talk about time a lot because time is either our friend or our worst enemy. You know, we've always existed in a rather polarized relationship with time. Mm. And so few people, if any, have ever had a healthy relationship to time. I mean, even people who are either really punctual or patient.
They're ruled by the clock.
They're still ruled by a clock. Because until we can recalibrate our hearts with time, time will always rule us to some degree. So the first, in terms of adjusting time and timings to like in our lives to really make it work for us so we can maybe get to happiness in a more constructive, I wouldn't say expedited manner, but we can get through the uncomfortable in time. If we tune our hearts into the direction, if we tune our hearts to the direction of our joy, as you experienced, time begins to work with us as opposed to against us.
We just have enough time to do everything and it all just kind of works.
Yeah.
And that's a bit, it feels a bit magic-y.
It does. Why? Because of desire.
It was like, I'd pick the perfect times to take the flights. I somehow managed to, on a whim, decide to be somewhere, and it was the exact perfect time for the other person to be there. And everything just slotted into perfect place. And all the things that I would have spent hours and, like, ironically, so much time stressing about and trying to control, I couldn't have planned it better, but I didn't plan it at all.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's how I would describe it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it was a bit freaky almost. Like I was like, oh my goodness, like how is this happening? How is this working out like this? What the fuck is going on?
It's because you're not ruled by the clock. You're ruled by, it's not even that you're ruled by anything. You've partnered with your joy. So the second one is purpose and mission. So time begins to work for us and to be in service to us just as we're working in service to the collective. The third thing, which is interesting because, you know, we came through the whole magic series and we kind of talked about how it's important to be hopeless. But in this stage, hope. Because hope is the fullest.
You need to be able to see what your life looks like.
Exactly. It's the fullest expression of our potential. Yeah. So you need hope to help tap into your desires. Now, in exercising those desires for magic is when hope gets in the way.
Because that's when you narrow it and it needs to look exactly as you hoped it to be.
Exactly. You need the broad energy and you need that scope for things to be able to present.
When you have the blank canvas, you need to have an idea of what you're going to paint, right? Mm-hmm. So you need hope because you need to know, I'm going to put like a little house there. I'm going to put like a little stream there. I'm going to have some like a couple in love over there. I'm going to have like a pile of money in the bank there, like whatever it is, right? But then when you actually come start to paint it, it's never going to look exactly like what it is in your head. So you almost have to remove that expectation. You're knowing what you're painting, but you have no idea what it's going to actually look like. You just know the kind of the elements in there. So you're hopeful when you are envisaging it, but when you're actually enacting it, you're hopeless because you're allowing it to unfold as what it's going to be. You know it'll exist, and that's when knowing comes in and faith and trust, because you know that it's going to have those elements, but you just don't know how those elements are going to be put on the canvas and how they're all going to sit together. Will the tree, you know, will there be trees? Will the house have a red roof or a brown roof? You know, all those kind of things. You don't quite know, like, where is this house? Like, where is this bank pile of money? Like, what, you know, you don't know all those things, but you kind of know the elements. Does that make sense?
It does.
That's the best way I would describe it.
I was going to say, you definitely went down a road. So the answer is, you know, the title, does it get easier? It certainly does. And you can attest to that. It's not that it gets easier because you do nothing. It's just more that things smooth out. Every choice just becomes a lot easier to make. Expressing yourself becomes easier as well. So no matter what I'm doing, I'm just so fully present. It feels great.
Thank you for listening. For more information, articles, and inspiration, find us at karmasmybitch.com and at karmasmybitch.insta.
And if you liked what you heard, please subscribe and leave us a review.